Welcome to Torat Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Adina Schmidman, and I'm thrilled that you are part of this program. To mark the completion of Sifrei Nevi'im, we are creating a Siyum scroll, an online place to recognize your accomplishment, as well as hosting several live events. Please check out the details at ou.org/women/Siyum. Again, ou.org/women/Siyum. Mazel tov on this meaningful accomplishment and much continued hatzlacha on your future learning. Please consider donating to support this valuable programming at ou.org/women/donate. And now to today's perek.
Hello, my name is Marcy Stern. Welcome to Torat Imecha with the OU Women's Initiative. Today we will be studying Zechariah Perek Zion, Chapter 7. In our last year, we talked about the last of Zechariah's 10 visions, a vision that focused on the four Markavot, the four chariots, that represent the four kingdoms of Babylonia, Persia, Greece, and Rome that ruled over the Jews. One by one, they will fall. In the second half of the chapter, we discuss Zechariah's having been told by Hashem to make gold and silver atarot, what these atarot were and what was done with them. Their connection to Yehoshua Kohen Gadol and Zerubbabel foretells a glorious and prestigious future for them and their descendants, as well as the Jewish nation. Perek Zion begins with Hashem speaking to Zechariah in the fourth year of Dor-Yavesh on the fourth of Kislev. Some 2 years have passed since Bnei Yisrael began the building of the second Beis HaMikdash on the 24th of Kislev, in the second year of Dor-Yavesh. The actual construction of the temple took some 4 years altogether. We are told in Pasuk Beis that a delegation of men were sent from Bavel to Betel, referring to the house of Hashem in Yerushalayim, according to the Abarbanel, quote, L'chalot et pnei Hashem, to beseech and daven to Hashem. What was their concern? What did they want to know? Pasuk Gimel says, Lemor el ha-kohanim asher levet Hashem tzvakot ve'el ha-nevi'im, speak to the Kohanim in the Beis Hashem and to the Nevi'im, meaning Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi. What was it they wanted? They had a question. Ha'efkeh b'chodesh ha-chamishi, should I cry in the fifth month, that's of, hinazer, should I abstain from pleasures, ka'asher asiti zeh kama shanim, just as I have done for some years? The question simply put was, should we continue the practice we have had the last 70 years to mourn the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash on Tisha B'Av, since the second temple is well into being completed? Matzudas David and others note that they mention only the fast of Tisha B'Av, since that is the most serious of the Dalet Somot, the four fasts, which are connected to the larger picture of the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. Those fasts were the 10th of Teves, the fast commemorating the day the Babylonians surrounded Yerushalayim, the 17th of Tammuz, the day they broke into the walls of Jerusalem, and Sum Gedalia, the day the last leader of the Jewish people in the first temple was assassinated after the temple was destroyed. According to Rashi, the people who asked these questions, quote, Anashim Tzadikim Hayu, they were righteous people. However, Radak thinks a little differently. He says, Hayu Ktanei Amana, they were small of faith. V'lo hayu rotzim la'alot l'bavel, mi'bavel. They did not want to come up from Bavel. Ki lo hayu ma'mimnim she'yishlam binyan habayit v'ya'amod mipnei hatzarim otam. They did not believe that this temple would be completed and that would last because of the enemies. The Abarbanel develops this idea, although to him these people did not remain back out of merid, rebellion, or ma'al, sinning. He says that the people who did not come up to Eretz Yisrael looked at the permission to come up and build as, quote, Ephes, nothing, It was like futile. For what reasons? He brings seven. Number one, they knew that the Shekhinah, the presence of God, could not return in its present form as it was during the first temple, or would not return. Number two, they thought Bnei Yisrael would soon be tossed out by their enemies. Three, there was no Kibbutz Goliot, the return and the gathering of all the people and all the different exiles, including Malchus Yisrael, the kingdom of the 10 tribes that didn't return. Four, the desolated land had not returned to its former productivity. Five, the nations were still cursing and terrifying the Jewish people. Six, the Kutim, the people who were actively trying to stop the building of the Bayis, controlled large parts of Eretz Yisrael, while the Jews only numbered 40,000. Seven, there was no king, since they weren't independent in Eretz Yisrael, so no one sat Al Kisei David on the throne of David. To them, the Barbanel says, quote, Gam ata haya davar galut behechleit beinehem. It was as if what was going on was still part of the exile. Vihine inyan she'latam hu shebnei Bavel chashvu shahaya binyan anshei bayit sheni poel batel. In their question, it seems that the people of Babel thought that this building now of the second temple was a useless and fruitless endeavor. To them, this building seemed no more than a Beit Knesset, a synagogue that they had in Babel. If so, their question was, Ha'efker b'chodesh ha'chamishi, should we continue to cry as we have for so long over the destruction of the Second Temple? To them, it seems the answer might be yes, since the building being built now was deficient in their eyes. And so they were sent to seek counsel from the Kohanim and the Nevi'im, Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi. How does Hashem respond? Psukim Dalet through Vav, the verses 4-6. Pasuk Dalet, Vayhi Dvar Hashem Tzvakot Elai Lemor. And this was the words of Hashem to me, Zechariah, saying, Pasuk Hei, Emor al kol ha'am ha'aretz ve'el ha'kohanim. Say to the people of the land and to the priests. Note, Hashem does not address the delegation from Bavel. He does address the Jewish people and the Kohanim. Obviously, the Kohanim did not know the answers to the questions, so they needed direction. Hashem addresses the nation, Yerushalayim, because they would have been most affected by the odd question posed by the people of Bavel that was certainly demeaning of the value of the Second Temple and diminishing its greatness. That is why the delegation from Bavel is for all intents and purposes ignored now, says Mitzvot David. Then Hashem says in Pasuk Hei, Ki tzamtem usfod b'chamishi u'bashvi'i, ze shiv'im shana. When you have fasted and mourned in the fifth month and the seventh month these past 70 years, note that Hashem mentions not only the fast of Tisha B'Av in the fifth month, but also the fast commemorating the death of Gedaliah in the seventh month of Tishrei. Mitzvot David explains that this is because Shkula mitat tzadikim kisreifat beit Hashem. The death of tzadikim is equal to Hashem to the burning of his own house. Hashem continues, Hatzom tzumtani ani? Was the fast you were fasting for my honor, for me? Pasuk Vav. V'chi tochlu, v'chi tishtu. Hallo atem ha'ochlim, v'atem ha'shotim. When you eat and you drink, are you not the ones who enjoy the food? From Hashem's response, we see that he was not happy with the question from Bavel. They had devalued the process of Shivat Zion and the building of the Second Temple. They had discouraged their brethren with their question, the ones that are now in Eretz Yisrael, that had had such a hard time on their own right when they returned to Eretz Yisrael about 20 years ago. in astonishment. Hashem is saying, according to Rashi, are you fasting for my honor, for my sake? If you don't fast, will I care? You are the ones who benefit from the eating, not me. The Marikra adds, I was not the one who commanded you to fast, says Hashem. It was a takan, an ordinance of the Nevi'im. Pasuk Zion, verse 7. Halo et ha-dvarim asher kara Hashem miyad ha-Nevi'im harishonim. Biyod Yerushalayim yoshevet ushleva va'areha svivoteha. Consider instead the prophecies that Hashem had pronounced through the earlier prophets when Yerushalayim and its cities were settled and peaceful. What prophecies were these? What is Hashem talking about? Hashem tells Zechariah in Psukim Tet through Yud 9-11. Ko amar Hashem tzokoso, says Hashem, Mishpat emet shvotu, judge with truthful justice. V'chesed v'rachimim asu ish et achiv, and act mercifully between one and another. V'amanav yatom ger v'ani al ta'ashoku, do not oppress the widow and the orphan and the ger and the poor person. V'ra'at ish achiv al tachshavu bilvavchem, do not think in your hearts to wrong one another. Your fasting came about because you did not heed the words of your prophets, who tried to convince you to treat each other with respect. Subsequently, your sinning resulted in the destruction of the first bayit, says the Radak. You're fasting because of your failures, not to bring me honor. What will assure the success of the second temple if not the fasting or not fasting? Rather, the Barbanel says, it is returning to Hashem with your heart and soul and the following of his mitzvos. Hashem wants you to follow in his ways. V'halachta bidrachav, walk in the ways of God, the Pasuk says. Mahu rachum afata rachum. Chazal explains that Hashem is merciful, so we should be merciful. We are beseeched to follow the characteristics of Hashem that can be seen through the way he deals with his people. These characteristics are the ones described in Psukim Tet through Yud. Rachamim, mercy, emes, truth, mishpat, righteousness. It is not the fasting that Hashem is seeking, but rather adherence to mishpat and tzedek, righteousness and justice. Is fasting an emulation of God's ways? Hashem doesn't eat or drink. Hashem wants us to follow the ways prescribed by our Nevi'im of yore. The tzom, the fast, is not the point, as Yirmiyahu says in chapter 9, verse 23, Perek Tet, Pasuk Haf Gimel, which is part of the Haftorah for Tisha B'Av. Ki im bezot yitalel hamitalel, with this may one glorify himself. Haskel v'yadoa oti, contemplating and knowing me. Ki ani Hashem oseh chesed mishpat utzdaka ba'aretz, because it is I Hashem who does kindness, justice, and righteousness. Ki be'ela chafatzti, for is this that is my desire. The parak concludes by describing how the people of the first Beis HaMikdash did not listen to the words of the Nevi'im. Quote, Vayitnu katef sororet. The parak says that they turned a rebellious shoulder to the prophets, as we learn so often in Sefer Yirmiyahu. V'libam, it says in Pasuk Yud Beis, V'libam samu shamir mishmoa et ha-Torah. And they made their hearts like hard iron to not allow the words of Torah to penetrate to their soul. And so, Vayihi ketzev gadol me'et Hashem, and there was a great rage from Hashem, which led to the churban of the first Beis HaMikdash and to Bnei Yisrael being dispersed in the Babylonian exile. The Abarbanel explains how this ending connects to the original question, Ha'efkeh b'chodesh ha-chamishi, should I cry in on Tisha B'Av? The Abarbanel says, and I quote, Lama yifku b'chodesh ha-chamishi, Why should you cry in the month of the fifth month of Av? Ki ein ha'adam boche mimashehu oseh le'atzmo. A man cries over what is done to him, not what he does to himself. Ve'heim hayu sibat ra'atam v'galutam. And it was the people who were the reason for the bad that came upon them and their exile. The churban was a self-inflicted wound. The point is not the fasting. The point is rectifying the situation. Instead of devaluing Shivat Zion and the rebuilding being done now, you should emulate the ways of Hashem and do his will so that the great potential latent in the second Beit HaMikdash can be fulfilled through their return b'tshuvah to Hashem and their return to Eretz Yisrael. Hopefully the beautiful Haftachos, promises of the Shechina returning to Yerushalayim, Kibbutz Galiot, the incoming of all the exiles, and the reestablishment of Malchus Beis David, the kingdom of the house of David, can become a reality. Thank you for studying together. Le'iloi Nishmas, Malka Esther Batzvi Yosef.